today on Real Radio.
But it is a parable regarding expectancy. Don't forget that. Expectancy, urgency, about a very particular and specific topic, and that is the coming of the Lord, the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches Jesus Christ will return, and only a fool would not believe that, if you think about it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at Matthew chapter 25, which records a parable that speaks of how we're to be ready to meet Jesus upon his return. It's called the Parable of the Ten Virgins. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in this mini-series.
The Parable of the Ten Virgins, and as I said, this is becoming a little bit of a series within a series, and it's better that we get everything out of it than run over some very important points. And in our study, we've come to now this 10th parable. And Matthew chapter 25, it's the 13 verses that make up of this parable. And if you're taking notes tonight, and I'm going to continue to mention this, I already have mentioned it, but it is a parable regarding expectancy. Don't forget that. Expectancy, urgency, about a very particular and specific topic, and that is the coming of the Lord, the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches Jesus Christ will return, and only a fool would not believe that. If you think about it, how can you assume for a moment that Jesus is not going to return when, first of all, his first coming was announced before he was ever born in Bethlehem? And he came. Jesus is not a myth. Contrary to billboards that are springing up across America, Jesus is not a myth. He was actually not only a historical person who lived, you guys know in this church that he was none other than God, according to the Bible, who revealed himself to mankind by visiting us in human skin. It was the plan of God. And so this very serious issue about Christ returning is something that we better pay close attention to. The Bible is replete with challenges and alerts to us being ready. Matthew 25, 1, we'll read it again. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps or their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." That while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, verse 11 says, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." Notice they got his title right, huh? But he answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you." And here it is. "Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." In our first previous studies regarding this, remember, our first point regarding the parable of the 10 virgins was found in verses 1 through 5. And it's very important. And that is, as we challenge one another regarding this, know what you believe. Remember that. If you're here tonight for the first time, you ought to write that down. You better know what you believe. You say, "Well, I'm not a Christian." Well, what do you believe in? You better know it. In fact, I'm very confident in saying this. You better know whatever it is you believe, because my challenge to you is kind of bold. Whatever you adhere to, if it's not Christianity, you better study it to its full end. Know everything about it. Because I believe if you do, you'll find out that it's absolutely bankrupt and unable to save you. It won't handle your sins. It won't handle eternity. It won't handle guilt. It won't have any power. But listen, for the Christian, we looked at how much we need to know what we believe because we have not followed these cunningly devised fables of others. It's the very word of God. And we saw that the whole push to this was for us to understand that the oil symbolized the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that they all started out with enlightenment. Jesus said that he gives light to every person that comes into the world. That's believer and unbeliever. Remember this. It's what you do with what God gives you. God gives a person life. God gives a person light of understanding. And if you abuse that, and if you reject that, and if you invest that responsibility in other areas, you're taking a gift given to you by God, and you're prostituting it into areas that he never intended it to be used in. That's why, by the way, false worship is mentioned in Scripture as spiritual adultery against God. It's a very serious thing. So you want to know what you believe, and you want to be making sure, as we saw, that you are acquainted well and understand the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know it seems like about a year ago already, but we were just here last Wednesday night, and I was completely pleasantly surprised on how things went when I gave opportunity for those who were really hungering and thirsting and desiring to serve the Lord and to yield their lives to his service. I honestly thought that we would be laying hands on and anointing with oil about 50 people. I thought, we can handle 50 people. And it turns out about 250 people got up and came forward and God moved. And I'm already hearing how there's been these experiences from some of you where you, for the first time in your life, you said, that's it. I'm done with my life. Holy Spirit, take possession of me and use me to your glory. I want to be used for the service of God. And God has promised to fill and come upon you afresh with the power of his Holy Spirit. And that's vitally important. So church, tonight we pick it up looking at act upon what you believe. That's part two of our message tonight, verses 6 through 10. Will you mark it down? Mark that down. Act upon what you believe. Know what you believe? God has given you the Bible. Know it. He's given you the opportunity to pray. You can ask him. So then act upon it. Act upon what you believe, verses 6 through 10. It begins this way. Jesus says, and at midnight a cry was heard, and behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Can you imagine the panic they must have been in? I assume they're in a panic. I don't know. But they say, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and to buy for yourselves. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, here it is, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, notice that, ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. I want to ask some questions to, I think, enlighten this. Act upon what you believe. As a Christian, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. What do you know? What do you believe? Now, church, listen. Let me just play with you. Don't answer. Don't yell. Don't jump up. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? If you say yes, then you just gave me the fuel to come at you and say, prove it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every Christian should be able to rightfully defend why they believe the Bible is the Word of God. You can't, this is not an answer. Well, my pastor said it, it's the Word of God. That's not an answer. Well, my grandmother told me. I read a book and it said that the Bible is the Word of God. You can't, that's not an answer. You need to know how to answer that challenge. And if you read your Bible, the Holy Spirit who's in you, we learned that last week, will bring up the answer. In that very hour when you don't think you know what to say, the Holy Spirit will speak into your heart, and you'll know exactly what to say. Next question. Is Jesus really going to come back for the church? Is that really going to happen? Yeah. You can't say because your denomination or your church, or I read all the Left Behind series and I know Jesus is coming back. Hey, that's not an answer. If you claim to know something, you only know it if you can defend it. Regurgitation is not knowing something. Look, you're looking at a guy who cheated all the way through school. I don't mind saying so. It's kind of like today. This is the, were you outside at all today? It was just a beautiful day. And I was studying all day outside in my backyard, and it's the perfect day, and the breeze is blowing, and the sky is blue, and it's everything's fantastic. And I was reminded today about how good God is, because I could not pay attention going through school to anybody or anything, because I have major ADD, and I loved looking out the window all the time. I got in trouble all the time for looking out the window. And today I was studying and looking out the window or looking outside. But one of the fun things is that it's not so much now that I'm over 55, but it used to be where I could just take a snapshot of something, as it were. The teacher would be saying something and I would just like, and I'd get it and then go goof off. And I would never study, but when it came time to take the test, I would just spit up the answers. And I would ace it. I'm the person that all the students hated because I was always goofing off, but I'd ace it. But if you asked me 10 days later what the answer was, I couldn't tell you. That's not learning, ladies and gentlemen. Regurgitation of a verse doesn't mean you know it, right? Regurgitation of a doctrine, unless you can explain it, you don't know it. So listen, before you can act on what you believe, you gotta know it. And that's why in this church we give a great amount of time and effort to teaching the Bible, Bible study. So here's what we wanna ask. What made them all virgins? We learn from the end of the parable that apparently five are saved and five are not saved. Five go into glory and five do not. So what made them virgins? This is important. Are you listening, everybody? Yes. Is the fact that they all believed the bridegroom was coming. Now, they differed in when the bridegroom would come, but they all would agree. Look, church, listen. Were they not all there? Did they not all respond to an invitation of some sorts to be there? Did they not all bring lamps? To some degree, did they not all have some level of oil? Did they not all group together? Did they not all even sleep and slumber together? In fact, were they not all together when the announcement was made, the bridegroom's coming? The only problem is only five were ready. So what do we know by this? Is this a parable about losing your salvation? No. It's a parable about five being ready because they were saved. Five not ready because they were not saved. It's very important you understand that. And the issue is the believer is going to be looking for the coming of his Lord. It is part of the fiber and the DNA of who you are now being born again. Okay, I have my dad's ears and I have my dad's nose. Okay, I have my mom's chin and my mom's eyes. Where did that come from? Their DNA. I bear the representation of my earthly parents' line. But when you're born again, born of the Spirit, you have a new or a spiritual DNA. And there are things that though we can be white, black, rich, poor, skinny, not skinny, Russian, American, doesn't matter, in the whole world, the body of Christ, there is this unifying factor of the Holy Spirit at work within the church. And no matter what our background is, there are things that we have this thing called koinonia. It's the fellowship of God's people. It's supernatural. You can meet somebody who's a Christian for the first time, and within 2 minutes, there's a gel. It's awesome. But we need to act upon what we believe as believers, and we need to make sure that we understand that. So the question is, what made them all virgins? I'll just say that they were involved in the expectancy to some degree or another. And there's people, by the way, who attend church. There's people who attend this church. And they don't like partying, they don't like drinking, they don't like carousing. They're conservative in their views. They've always gone to church, and they come to church every Sunday. They like being around Christian people. But their commitment to Christianity only goes so far as, listen, as it's convenient. And what do I mean by that? There are people who will follow Jesus Christ up until the point someone persecutes them for being a Christian, and then they give up. Or they get sick, or they get cancer, or they lose their job. And you'll know these people because they turn on God. They turn on him. The very one that they love, they turn on him. And they blame him for their dilemmas. They wind up now because now the fair weather faith has been shaken. And so now they turn and they blame him for all the world's ills or their family ills or whatever's going on. And listen, this is a very serious thing. And I kind of analyzed this just a bit, and if it ministers to you, great. But these five begin to, number one, loosen up their grip on God. They get a little bit what we used to call in the 70s sloppy agape. They just start to take God for granted. That's where it begins. The second thing is that they begin to allow things into their lives that they shouldn't allow. They begin to allow things into their lives that they didn't allow in before. But what's worse than that, even they begin to justify why they allow certain things into their lives now that they didn't before. The third thing is that they begin to get selective about Bible doctrines and scriptures that apply to them. They seem to what we would call hobby horse certain issues. They stick to one area, this is my thing, or they grab something and they make it their crusade. They begin to isolate themselves from the full counsel of God. I've noticed over the years, the fourth thing is that they begin to compromise, then slip away into eventual apostasy. That is the departure from the faith. A believer cannot commit apostasy. Only the fake or the false believers can. By the way, when I say believers, let's make something very clear here. In another parable, we'll look at it in the future, Jesus says regarding certain people who receive the word of God, Jesus says, listen, these are they who believe for a while. You say, oh my gosh, you can lose your salvation, can't you? No. He said, these are they who believe for a while. Their belief stays only in the area of belief. Look, you're in the United States of America, and you may have a California driver's license, but you may not believe in America. You're not a real American unless you believe in what America is. You can be sitting in a church and own a Bible, and for a season, you can believe, but you never put your belief into the realm of faith. You never put your weight upon Jesus. And eventually, things of the world will sift you out. It's a sobering thing. Five, they were never true followers because, as I said, they never had a real, challenged, confirmed faith. Look, you're not going to hear this, but you know what really makes your faith and my faith real? Real to us. God knows all things. Have you ever had a really tough season in life or a tough life? Have you ever had a tough day or a tough month or a tough relationship and you're a Christian? Have you noticed no matter what it is, you might hate it, you might despise it, you might be stressed and freaking out about it, but have you noticed leaving Jesus regarding it never crosses your mind? Have you noticed that it's, Lord, you know, Peter said it. To whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. That's a great word. Where are we going to go? The real believer says, where am I going to go? Job said it this way, right? Though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Naked I've come, naked I'll go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's no other place to go. The believer who has faith in God says, look, if this is the end of the road, I'm at the end of the road with God. Unless he opens up a highway or a freeway, I've got nowhere else to go. A person who only has belief, but not faith, gives up on God. And trials and difficulties are the very things that confirm to us individually our faith. That's why we go through it. You may be battling cancer. That is your fiery trial to see well and deep within you faith. Your faith becomes real. Maybe the person next to you is not going through cancer, but they're going through tremendous difficulties in life. You know, I don't know for whatever this is worth. You want to get your faith confirmed? You want to, and look, I'm not talking about, so come forward and we'll confirm your faith. That's not, who cares? That's impossible. You want your faith confirmed? Get involved in ministry. You'll get your spiritual teeth knocked out. And then you go, man, that hurt. And you get up and then you get hit again. And I'm not talking about physically getting hit. That would almost be easier. It's all the stabbing emotionally or spiritually or mentally that goes on. But listen, for every Christian, your faith's going to get hit. Why, God, why are you doing this? When you calm down and listen to the Lord, he's saying, I am perfecting your faith. Listen, sir, listen, young lady, this is happening to you, not because I'm out of control. You need this regarding the witness and the ministry that I had ordained for you before you ever came into this world. Will you let me be your God in and through it, as I always have been your God? And that's when you say, yes, Lord, to whom shall I go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And listen, confirming our faith, I was in an ornery mood today, I guess, when I wrote this down, because this is what I wrote. Our sons and our daughters know the truth about our proclamation of faith. Our husbands and our wives know the truth about our proclamation of faith. What if God decided to base our entrance into heaven? I'm only making this up right now, so calm down. What if God decided to base our entrance into heaven on what others say about us? Better still, what if God allowed our wives or our husbands, our sons or our daughters to answer that issue in our place? Can you imagine? Okay, Jack, come forward. Your kids and your wife are going to evaluate if you go into the kingdom or not based upon your witness to them and your witness in life to them. Did you, they're going to ask, did he exhibit the lordship of Jesus Christ in his life? And imagine their answer being given, and it determines your eternal destination. There'd be a lot of husbands shaping up real quick.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Ten Virgins. The Parable of the Ten Virgins is actually a series within a series taken from Matthew chapter 25. It's part of Pastor Jack's continuing series on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as we remind you, almost every Monday, you can catch our weekly television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. In fact, you can watch it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. .org. Most often you'll see Pastor Jack sit down with a guest or two to engage in some informative conversations and interviews, of course centered around the Judeo-Christian worldview. They address topics like scripture, is it reliable? Evangelism, what is effective? Apologetics, how do we defend what we believe? Faith and politics, being salt and light, marriage and family, proper interpretations of history, and of course the list goes on. There's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program every Monday. And of course, you can browse the categories for yourself to see archived programs. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, you'll also find links to just about all that's related to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.